Welcome to Daily Wisdom, Walking the Path with the Buddha, a podcast shared by David Roylance. This podcast is dedicated to guiding you to completely eliminate the discontent mind and the suffering it causes by attaining enlightenment. Learn and practice the teachings of Gautama Buddha that will guide you to fully attain a peaceful, calm, serene, and content mind with joy. To support this podcast, visit patreon.com/supportbuddha or visit buddhadailywisdom.com, where you will discover a full range of courses, retreats, and online learning resources to assist you on the path to enlightenment. Now, here's our teacher to share more.
Sawadee krap. Hello and welcome to Daily Wisdom, Walking the Path with the Buddha. Today is our group learning program, and we're in part three of a four-part series where I'm helping students to build up your breathing mindfulness meditation practice. Today, what we're going to be doing is I'll guide you in a breathing mindfulness meditation session like we have been doing in each one of these classes, and then I'm going to open up to any and all questions that you have. So this is an opportunity for you to ask any questions about meditation or any other aspect of the path to enlightenment that you're challenged with. So as you've been learning so far in this program, you've been learning about not only meditation, but the Eightfold Path, like right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and anything that you're coming across in terms of the Buddhist teachings or how to apply them in your day-to-day life, this is an excellent opportunity to ask any and all questions that you like. If you're on Facebook, YouTube, or in Zoom, you can put your questions in the comment section, or if you're in Zoom, you can raise your hand electronically and ask any and all questions that you like. I'm going to ease us into meditation with some chanting, and then I'll come back in with some guidance. So you can take a position either seated, lying, or standing. These are all positions that work really well for online learning. There's also a walking position as well that I teach in the various courses and retreats that I share. And there's even been videos done about those as well that you're able to learn the walking meditation, because that's really helpful if you have an overactive mind or you have a lot of anxiety and kind of energy in your mind. You can use the walking meditation to kind of let that out and then maybe even switch over back to a seated or lying or standing or something like that. So you can access that from our YouTube channel. Just search for walking meditation. So I'd like to invite you to join for meditation. I'm going to start with the chants, and then afterwards I'll come back in with some guidance. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagavā bhūtaṃ bhagavannaṃ abhivādayāmi Savakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami Napurasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Arahasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Arahasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti Bhisso Bhagava Arahaṃ Sammasambuddho Vicca Charanaṃ Sammuno Sakato rokawito anu tero purisa namasati satatawa manusanam poto bhagavate. Okay, with the lower body and hands and arms comfortable, and the upper body erect, just close the eyes and start breathing in through the nose and out through the nose. Here you're just looking to establish the breath, a nice, natural, steady, consistent breath. Not forced or controlled, just a gradual inhale through the nose, experiencing the full breath. And then when you're ready, exhale out through the nose. Breathing in and out. Breathing in and out. Your breath may not match up with the guidance that I'm providing, and that's okay. This is your practice. I'm just here for guidance. You can use this voice as a reminder that whenever you get to the next inhale, breathing gradually through the nose, developing a nice, natural, steady, consistent breath. And then, whenever you're ready, exhale out through the nose. Breathing in and out. Breathing in and out. With the breath well established, start fixating the mind on the breath, either the sound of the breath coming into the nose or the sensation of air moving over the skin into the nose. The breath is the present moment. Fixate the mind on the breath, the present moment. Breathing in and out. Breathing in and out. With the mind fixated on the breath, whenever you notice that it moves off the breath, cut that off. Let it go and come back to the breath, the present moment. No need to observe the thought, label it, judge it, analyze it, or even try to figure out where it's coming from. Whenever you notice that the mind is moved off the breath, cut that off, let it go, and come back to the breath, the present moment. Breathing in and out. Breathing in and and out. I'm going to be quiet now and let you do this work of focusing on the breath, cutting off and letting go anytime the mind moves off the breath. You have nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. No one needs you right now. This is your time to focus on the breath. Breathing in and out. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagavā bhūtaṃ bhagavannaṃ abhivādayami savakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi suppatthipanno bhagavato savakkhasangho Sanghaṃ namāmi Namo rasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo rasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo rasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa iti piso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho vicacaraṇaṃ sammuno sakkhato rokkhavito anuttaro purisa dhammasati satattava manusanaṃ bhūto bhagavate. Okay, if you'd like to slowly make your way out of meditation. So I'd just like to remind you guys of a few things about what I've taught about meditation so far before I open up to any questions that you guys might have. If you remember back to our first class of this four-part series, I was teaching about the time, frequency, and schedule of meditation, and I was talking about how it would be wise to build up your meditation practice to two or three sessions per day for 30 minutes or more, and how this will typically take about 6 months, a year, even 2 years for an individual to sometimes build up to that level of frequency and duration. Well, today, what I did is I've been gradually expanding our meditations each session, and today we're meditating for at 30 minutes. So if this felt like it was a little bit short for you for meditation, then it looks like you have the ability to go further in your meditation. And if you felt like it was a little bit long for you and that maybe you weren't quite there yet with the 30 minutes of meditation, then understand that that's just where you're at, right? It's going to oftentimes take 6 months, a year, or even 2 years to build up to a frequency and duration of two or three for 30 minutes or more. Typically, an individual who's just getting onto the path to enlightenment, they're developing their meditation practice, they are making space in their life for this new activity, because oftentimes we're doing things that are unbeneficial in our life. Maybe we're on social media for 2 or 3 hours. Maybe we're surfing YouTube. Not that these things are bad or that you can't be doing these things, but if you're doing it an exorbitant amount of time that isn't really producing any benefit for you, then you might decide that you would like to, you know, move those things out of your life and kind of bring it down to more of a beneficial way of interacting on social media or using things like YouTube or other things like this. Or there could be other things in your life, right? Somebody might be going out and partying or drinking and using drugs or alcohol or things like this. And when you start stripping these things out of your life, you'll notice that you have more and more time for beneficial activities like doing something like meditation. So this meditation can be a good kind of barometer for you to see, you know, did it feel like you could have done more meditation? And that's going to help you to continue to grow? Or do you feel like, wow, that was a really long meditation and it was really challenging for you? So that kind of helps you to kind of see where you're at with the 30 minutes or more of meditation per session. And like I mentioned, it's going to oftentimes take 6 months, a year, even 2 years to build up to that. So wherever you are, that's where you are. That's your practice. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody. You don't need to measure yourself with anyone. Even if it takes you longer than 2 years to build up to 2 or 3 sessions per day for 30 minutes or more, that's completely fine. This is your journey to enlightenment. It's nobody else's journey, and you're not comparing yourself to anyone else. So you start wherever you start and you build up your meditation practice from there. So what I'm going to do is open up to any and all questions that you guys have related to the teachings of the Buddha. You can put that into Facebook, YouTube, or Zoom in the comment section, or you can raise your hand electronically and ask any questions that you like here in Zoom. So let me know if you guys have any questions. Okay, it looks like Miriam has a question. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, good evening for you. I have a question about meditation. Something happened to me twice within 3 weeks, was that the meditation seemed to last the regular time. I managed to meditate for like between, 30 minutes, more or less 5 minutes, it depends. And I put my, I don't really time it, but I turn on my, if I have my phone around, which I don't now, but the stopwatch, so I just click the button, and if I remember to look at the time when I'm done, then I watch it. So, but what happened was that I was not sleepy, but I feel like at some point I lost time. I don't know how, because my meditations didn't seem to last longer than usual. But when I stopped it, it was like at 50 minutes. 48, 50, and I was like, I didn't sleep. I know I wasn't thinking. And actually, I noticed a few times that I could spend a longer time, which I cannot measure, without having any thoughts. But I still had thoughts now and then. But I don't know. I feel like I blanked. Is that normal?
Yeah, this is normal. As you're starting to get deeper and deeper into your meditation, you'll get to a point where time almost stands still. The mind is very quieted, very still. Rather than having thought, or rather than indulging in a thought for a long period of time, and then, realizing 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes down the road that you need to bring your mind back to your breath, you can go these very long periods where it's almost like time stands still and there is no thoughts. But then eventually there'll be another thought, right? So this is normal that you'll experience this, and this is helpful. So if that's occurring, fine. And this won't be permanent, of course, as you know, but it's completely normal.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering if I know I was not sleeping because I didn't feel asleep. Sometimes it happened to me that I fell asleep during meditation, but I could feel myself slumping a little bit, or losing my body. And that wasn't the case. So I was just wondering what it was. Okay, right, it's normal, then I'll take it the way it comes and I'll see. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. This isn't going to always be happening, but it will happen occasionally. It's not a problem or anything like that. It's a situation where you could be meditating for an hour and it seems like it was 5 minutes, right? Or you can also be meditating sometimes and it feels like an hour and it was actually only 5 minutes. So you can notice that, the mind just lets go. And this is actually really helpful if you're noticing that your mind's letting go and you're not paying attention to the time and what's happening and what's going around. You're just focused on the breath and You know, it's almost like time is standing still and time doesn't matter anymore. Ultimately, you would like to get to a point in your meditation, and I know this sounds a little bit morbid, but you would like to get to the point in your meditation where if you died in that moment, you would be completely fine with that. It's not that you aspire to die. It's not that you're wanting to die. It's that your mind is let go so much and the mind is so peaceful and so joyful. There's nothing else in the world that you want or that you're holding on to. And that if you died in that moment of meditation, you'd be completely fine with that. And if you can get to that point where the mind's letting go that much, which typically is the case when you're experiencing what you're experiencing, you can get to the point where you can see that, wow, the mind has a huge potential to experience this peace and joy. And the mind might not be there 100% yet in all times of your day, but you can see the potential it has. And this is really encouraging for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
I'll keep doing it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, it looks like...
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Looks like Julia has a question. Go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Teacher David. I have during meditation and during life, I have all of these thoughts of past traumas or past resentments. And conceptually, I understand that letting go brings joy and peace, and that is my desire, but I have a hard time. The craving is so strong that I have a really hard time letting go. I feel like I engage in these sort of conflicts where I would rather be meditating, but sometimes the anger is so strong in the moment that I end up engaging in wrong speech, and then it ends up eating away at my time, and then I don't have time to meditate. So I kind of struggle with the desire to progress in the right path, but also the strong cravings that I still have towards past events and towards past unfairness, you know, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so when somebody's first getting onto the path, which I think that's the case for you, the mind's going to have a whole host of cravings, desires, attachments, clinging. I almost think of it like a trash heap, like we're standing on top of a trash heap. And, you know, we start clearing off a little bit of the trash on top and we drop down to the next layer of trash and we clear off that and we keep dropping down and we're like, oh my goodness, where is solid ground? Where are we going to get to the point where none of these cravings exist in the mind anymore? So you've got this mountain of cravings and clinging that is in the mind. And there's a whole spectrum of craving and clinging here. Like there's these really strong, deeply held ones that, you know, maybe if you're attached to your mom or your dad or your brothers and sisters, if you have a life partner, if you have children or things like this, there can be really deep attachment there that's very challenging. It's not like a real quick and easy thing to let go of. And then you can have these lighter attachments on the other end of the spectrum, like maybe there's an attachment to chocolate or, you know, something like this, or maybe to some jewelry or something like this. So the mind's going to need this gradual, steady, consistent training on an ongoing basis to the point where over a long-term, consistent period of time, the mind is just getting trained more and more and more and more and more, where it's going to find letting these things go easier and easier. But early like this, the mind's not going to be able to let go of these more deeply held attachments. And there is going to be some what would be referred to as wrong speech or wrong action. And there's going to be some of those things. But what you would like to do with each one of these incidences is look at it objectively and try to figure out what are your cravings? What is the wrong speech that you used? What is the wrong action that you did? And then now figure out what would be wiser for you to have done in the future. If you're confronted with that same situation, would it be better to just walk away and stay quiet and then go deal with the anger on your own? What would be the best and ideal way for you to handle it? So you can't avoid the challenges and struggles and difficulties along the way getting to enlightenment, because you're not going to be able to snap your fingers and instantly, you know, start functioning as an enlightened being, because the enlightened being is, you know, functioning at a certain level. And then an unenlightened mind is much different than that. And it's gradually working its way towards that. And in the process of getting towards enlightenment, any kind of missteps, you would like to look at that and learn from it and cultivate wisdom of how to do better next time. So each time that you see one of these things, look inward. If you need help, you can reach out to me and you can say, hey, David, I don't even realize, you know, I know I got angry. I know I got I use wrong speech, but you know, what are my cravings here? You know, I'm having trouble identifying these. I'm having difficulties figuring this out. What could I have done better? You can get insight and wisdom that way by reaching out. You can ask me questions in the Facebook group, in classes. You can send me private messages. You can schedule personal guidance, and we can talk about each one of these challenges and struggles. Because on the way to enlightenment, there's going to be many, 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 many struggles. And the Buddha teaches, you know, don't shrink back from that struggle. And this is one of the things that I teach too, that rather than walking away from those challenging situations in terms of once they've already happened, instead of just kind of like fluffing them off to the side, instead, look at that situation, walk towards it, and figure out, what could I have done better next time? And then when you walk towards a situation, meaning reflecting on it and looking inward, this will help you to cultivate the wisdom. So in the very next time that you're in that same situation, you'll have more wisdom to be able to handle it differently. Where what we tend to do in the unenlightened state is we tend to walk away from our problems, or we tend to run in some cases, right? We shrink back from the struggle. And this is just ensuring that that struggle is going to continue over and over and over again, because we never cultivate the wisdom that we need to overcome that in the future. So if you walk towards this by being reflective and introspective and look inward and try to figure out what it is that you could do better in the future, this will really help you to build your wisdom. And where you need help, you reach out to me and I'll be able to help you with that. And then just understand that there's going to need to be this gradual training, gradual practice, and gradual progress to really soften up the mind and make it willing to be able to let go of some of these deeply held cravings and clinging. It's important to be sure that you don't have a desire to get to the peace, that you don't have a longing, yearning for that enlightened mental state, but instead just gradually work towards it as a goal, as an objective, or an interest. Because if you crave anything, even you crave enlightenment, you won't be able to get to it. But also, if you were indifferent and you could care less whether you experience anger and frustration, and you could care less how you treated people around you, that wouldn't be helpful and wise either. So you'd like to strike this middle way where you're gradually working towards the goal, as an objective or an interest, almost kind of sneaking up on enlightenment, realizing that it's going to be a multi-year pursuit and you're going to experience some of these missteps and challenges, but just use each one as an opportunity to cultivate wisdom, all the while maintaining a consistent ongoing practice of breathing mindfulness meditation and generosity. That's what's going to train your mind to let go and open up. Because when you're first on the path, the mind's kind of hard and crusty, and it kind of holds on to things really tightly. It's not willing to let go. Okay, I'm not seeing any other questions anywhere. All right. Well, what I'll do then is just thank all of you guys for coming to today's class, and thank you for deciding today's a day that you'd like to learn and practice these teachings. I'd like to encourage you to keep building up your meditation practice, because this is the real catalyst that's going to help you to soften up the mind and let go of these cravings, desires, attachments. It's not going to be instantaneous or a quick thing, but gradually, slowly but surely, as you're developing your practice of meditation and generosity and all the other factors of the Eightfold Path, you'll be able to see how it all comes together and works towards the improvement to the condition of the mind. This Sunday, I'm going to be discussing the mental discipline section of the Eightfold Path, which is going to round out the entire Eightfold Path and give you the full picture of what you really need to be doing on a day-to-day basis with your life practice. So far, I've been gradually building you up, but now you're going to see on Sunday, when we talk about right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration, all the various factors and how they're all working together. I'll be teaching you those last three factors, but you'll be able to see more of the bigger picture of how all of these things fit together. And then next week, in our fourth part of this breathing mindfulness meditation series, I'm going to be reviewing the things that I talked about on the very first class. We'll be walking back through and reminding you and refreshing your memory about all the pointers about how to meditate and what you would need to be doing and how to build up your meditation practice. So that'll be an opportunity for us to, yes, meditate together, but also to get a refresher on the things that are important for you to build up your breathing mindfulness meditation practice. And then after that, I'm going to be moving moving into a four-part series of loving kindness meditation. That's going to start 2 weeks from now. And that's going to really help you, Julia, and it's also going to help everyone else too, because loving kindness meditation is to transform the anger, the hatred, the ill will, the frustration, the irritation, the annoyance. You don't have all the tools that you need yet to really fully transform the mind, and all of these are going to come together as we're progressing in this program. And I've laid it out in such a way that it's gradually building you up, because you would need breathing mindfulness meditation in order to then do loving kindness meditation. So next week, I'll be refreshing your memory on breathing mindfulness meditation so we can end our four-part series with you having a better understanding of breathing mindfulness meditation before we move into something new like loving kindness meditation that's going to help you transform your mind away from the anger, hatred, ill will, and all those lesser versions. By the time you get to enlightenment, you won't even have the slightest dislike for another person. Right now, it might be hard to think about that and imagine that, but that's what the enlightened mind is capable of experiencing, where you don't even have the slightest dislike or annoyance for another being. So thank you all for joining. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your dedication to learning and practicing. I'll see you guys perhaps either this Sunday or next Wednesday. And remember that all these classes are recorded, so where you miss class, you always have the opportunity to learn through the replay. So we'll see you guys in a future class. Have a very lovely and wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you next time. Sawadee ka.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To provide support for this podcast, visit patreon.com/supportbuddha. To access more teachings, visit buddhadailywisdom.com. There, you will discover a full range of courses, retreats, and online resources to assist you on the path to enlightenment. Remember, to establish a daily, consistent meditation practice, along with learning and practicing these teachings, a well-developed meditation practice is the foundation in which to train the mind to attain enlightenment.